Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRayHallHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is the Internet Challenge, Jeff Byers. A little bit of a rough one with the Internet service today, Jeff.
Oh, it has been a frustrating few days here at home. I'm not even sure exactly where the problem is, but I have a strong suspicion. So we will just keep muddling through and hope that it comes out good on the other side. And hope that that other side is, you know, soon.
Well, I mentioned to you prior to recording, there is not an internet provider in the world that I think anybody is happy with.
No, and if anybody is and they want to pass that information along, boy, I would be very, very happy to receive it.
Contact Jeff if you're a State College internet provider. All right, Jeff, you know what? It's end of the week, so you're the guy who kind of gets the last say on last week's game, Penn State, West Virginia, first game of the season. We've been waiting all summer, the entire offseason, for that first game. And now let's do what we do and let's overreact to it. How about it?
Absolutely. As I've been saying up here, that's what fans tend to do. As a media person, I'm not going to overreact. I'm not going to anoint Penn State the national champions here in 2024. But I do think it's clear they'll be in the national title game. Now, how they match up with Georgia or Ohio State, I think that's the debate. Wait, oh, am I getting ahead of myself? Is that perhaps an overreaction?
perhaps just a tad, just a little bit, Jeff. But you know what, though? It's fun to do, isn't it? Isn't it great that they gave us enough in that first game to dream on?
Well, the one thing, and listen, we do need to see how this all plays out, every part of it. But it is just nice when you feel like you get affirmation of what you believed in the offseason with something with your football team. And I really thought all offseason that they had home run hires with their offensive and defensive coordinators. I really think Andy Kotelnicki and Tom Allen are elite, to use the Penn State terminology, in their coordinator positions. And I think what we saw on Saturday backed that up and then some. I just think they have two coordinators that really know what they're doing. And it's why I am truly very optimistic that Penn State will be in the mix. Now, I think there's a bunch of teams out there that are loaded with talent that also have great coordinators, but I think Penn State is going to be in the mix long-term this season because, yep, they have the talent, they have the depth, but I think most importantly to me right now is they have two coordinators that really know how to think through the game, figure out matchups, make adjustments during the game, and utilize to the highest degree the talent that is there, and perhaps if needed to cover up any weaknesses or problem areas until they get those figured out.
And what I really appreciate, Jeff, is we got to see this in a game against a team. Now, I think in hindsight, West Virginia was overrated by a lot of people. We'll find out as the season progresses. But you actually got a true test for Penn State. You weren't playing Podunk or something. You were playing a real team. So if we are going to overreact, at least we're overreacting to a legitimate game.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And I am going to be curious to see, because I do think, although they did not have as strong a showing against Penn State as I thought they would, and it's not that I thought they were going to run all over the Nittany Lions, but I did think they would be able to put up better numbers than they did against this Penn State defense. I do think that is still a really good offense, and I am going to be curious to see how West Virginia navigates its season. And again, maybe we're overreacting to how good Penn State looked. But I actually do think at the end of the day, this is going to go down not as a, you know, national title contending team, maybe not even as a playoff contending team. But I think West Virginia is going to be in the neighborhood that they were a year ago, which, you know, you get an 8-9 win team and you get a convincing win like that at their place. To me, that is significant.
It is, Jeff. And we're going to play a little game a little bit later on because I hate these total mismatch kind of games, okay? And I'm going to give you some teams later on, and you're going to tell me if they actually played a Southeast Conference team or not.
Oh,
and you need to tell me where the school is even located. Just give me the state, okay? So we're going to do that a little bit later as a way for me to make fun of some of the schedules in the Southeast Conference. I could have done the same thing, by the way, with the Big Ten, but I'd just rather make fun of the Southeast Conference. So let's continue with our overreaction to the first game. You mentioned the coordinators. I'll get to them in a bit. Let's look at some of the individual players. And when you evaluate this game, you look at this game from the Penn State standpoint, you got to start with the quarterback, Drew Aller. A lot of different opinions of Aller going into the season, but I think a lot of folks came out of this one, not just talking about his arm, the couple explosive plays, but the different emotions that we saw from Drew Aller, the different reactions. Your take on that?
Yeah, I think it's all positive. I've told our buddy Goon up here on our show that the thing with Drew Aller, I liked everything I saw, and I do think it's a difference maker with the relationship he has with Kotelnicki and just the offensive coaches this year. I think the approach is more about going out, having fun, letting things fly a little bit. So I did like all of that. For me, though, it's kind of like fans are with Penn State facing Ohio State or Michigan. It's like, yeah, I'll believe it when he does it in a big game. And we might get that big game now at USC. That might be the first real challenge or test in a pressure situation. Again, I liked everything I saw Saturday. I'm not saying I think he's going to fall apart in those games or anything like that. But I do think at this point, for me, it's like, okay, I'll truly believe Drew Aller has turned a corner and is, you know, next level when I see it against a team that is right there with Penn State, and Drew Aller needs to make some plays, maybe shake off some early struggles and respond and lead the team to a victory. And I'm not saying he can't do that, won't do that. I'm saying I need to see it after what we saw last year with the Michigan and Ohio State games.
You know, my response to the folks that are saying, okay, let's see it against Michigan and Ohio State, that level of team. And I do want to see it there, Jeff. But there were struggles from him in the offense, even against some other teams last year, like Illinois, Northwestern. Fortunate that there was a defense that was so good, they would keep getting the ball back to this offense. Here was another takeaway from the game that I've heard a lot of people talk about. The best thing I saw from Drew Aller was how upset he was when the defensive player clapped, simulating the snap count, caused the bad snap, or the snap when Drew Aller wasn't ready for it, caused a fumble and a turnover. And a year ago, in that situation, Drew Aller would have just slumped his shoulders, walked up to the bench, and probably whined a bit about it. Instead, he got into the official's face and let no doubt about it how he felt about that play. What was your take on that one?
Well, I heard, now this is unofficial, I heard Bill O'Brien called James Franklin and said, hey, you got a fighter there. He liked that. It was my understanding. So, no, I liked it. Again, I liked everything really we saw from Aller. I guess I caution that, you know, I think to in some ways he had an even better performance against West Virginia last year. He certainly spread the ball around more last year. And that's why coming out of the West Virginia game last year, I'm like, okay, the passing game, man, the Penn State's in great shape there. We don't have to worry about that. And, you know, as the season progressed, that turned out not to be the case. Again, I kind of think the opposite is going to happen this year, but we just have to see how it plays out. I really think Aller took advantage of Trey Wallace being able to take advantage of West Virginia's defense, and you're perfectly fine with that. I do want to see, and it's just an unanswered question right now, how consistently the other receivers can make plays when called upon. And obviously they're going to need more than just Trey Wallace, or I think they're going to need three or four receivers to make plays consistently for this program to get where it wants to be. And I'm talking about trying to get into the semifinals of the playoffs here at the end of the season. I think to do that, you know, I'm watching some of the other games around the country. Trey Wallace looks like a legit one receiver, but I'm watching that USC-LSU game, Jim, and I'm watching receivers make play after play, spectacular catches, one-handed catches, fun stuff to watch. And I'm thinking in my mind, oh, can Penn State do that? And I don't know, maybe they can, but I want to see it. Like, I don't know right now if Penn State matches up with some of the top programs in that particular position.
Jeff, we're going to continue with our overreactions, but since you brought it up in these other games, I think already my nomination for catch of the year is that one-handed catch the USC receiver made. That was incredible. That's Odell Beckham-ish.
Yes, truly unreal. You watch it, and it just sticks in his hand, and his ability to pull it in with, you know, folks on both sides of him and dragging him down. It was truly a spectacular catch. And again, I think those are the types of plays that at some point you're going to need somebody on your team to make. And, you know, we'll just have to see if we get in those clutch situations for Penn State, what they're able to do or not do.
Now, again, I mentioned that one-handed catch and said that might end up being the catch of the year, okay? But as far as making a special catch, time running out at the end of the first half, you've got one shot into the end zone, just one shot. And Trey Wallace made the adjustment that he did. And Drew Aller put the ball the only place he could for a reception. And Trey Wallace, I thought that was a pretty special catch there, Jeff.
I agree with you, and I think the adjustment there and the fact that Aller was on the same page with Wallace is a big deal at this stage of the season. So I'm with you, and again, I think that combination, you feel really good about. They just need Trey to stay healthy this season.
Yes, indeed. All right, that's it for quarter one. Lots more to go with Jeff.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. What we're doing, Jeff, is we're overreacting, okay? We're doing our job here. That's what we're supposed to do. We got 1 week of football. Let's overreact to it. Let's come to some conclusions. We talked about Trey Wallace. He looks like a number one receiver to me. I spent the entire offseason saying I thought he's the guy who could be the number one guy. He did nothing in this first game to change my mind. He did nothing at all to change my mind. The other wide receivers, they just plain did nothing. So, Jeff, here's my overreaction. Where's Julian Fleming? Where's Liam Clifford? Obviously, they don't have any other receivers except Trey Wallace.
There's no question, Jim. They just have a complete deficit. Those guys are clearly not up to the task. Listen, you know, with no targets, it's hard to give any kind of real assessment. And again, I think you just have to see how this kind of plays out over the course of the next several weeks. And I think that's one of the really nice things about the way the schedule does play out for Penn State is you did get a test. How big of a test that actually turns out to be against West Virginia, we'll find out in the coming weeks. But it certainly was a test on the road in a hostile environment, at least for the first half. And, you know, I think that they responded well. But, yeah, there's a lot of I don't think you can give bad grades. I just think a lot of incompletes right now on this team. And certainly the receiving corps would lead the charge there because we just don't know whether or not these guys can routinely make the routine plays because they weren't asked to in the opener. And I do think it's one of the things that they'll be able to work on and try to get those guys involved and get them a good feel here for what it is they'll need to do throughout the course of the season. But it's another one of those situations, Jim, like, am I going to feel great if Liam Clifford comes out and has 5 catches against Bowling Green and 6 more against Kent State? I'll feel good, but can these guys, when they need to, make the plays at USC against Ohio State with the game on the line? You just got to get into those clutch situations to see what you have. But I certainly think you can develop and work on the consistency part here in the coming weeks. And, you know, for me, the two things I'm most keeping an eye on is, yeah, how many of these receivers get involved in the next couple of weeks with receptions, with targets? Are they consistently pulling the ball in when it is thrown to them? And then, you know, the kicking game to me is the biggest concern coming out because I say, hey, Dick, again, I'm not sitting here telling you can't do it, but I don't have great confidence right now if you're telling me, all right, Penn State, Ohio State, Penn State's down by a point, 45-yard field goal to win it. Here we go. It's like, oh, okay, here we go.
Definitely the case. Just circling back to the wide receiver question, I think you had the right answer there, Jeff, in calling their grade an incomplete. But I'm not concerned because Drew Aller threw only 17 passes in this game. And the vast majority, 15 of them, were to Trey Wallace, Tyler Warren, Omari Evans. In fact, 9 of the targets were Trey Wallace. So I think incomplete on the other guys is the answer. And I suspect it'll be a point of emphasis in these next 2 games to get the other guys involved. In fact, I'll tell you ahead of time, my bold prediction for this upcoming game was – first pass, and maybe even on first down, they're going to throw to Julian Fleming just to get him involved, keep him involved, keep him happy, and show that they can do it and are willing to do it.
Yeah, I think, and I could see that. I think they just want to get that one out of the way so that it's not something that becomes a recurring theme with the press conferences. And, hey, where was Julian Fleming? I agree with you. I think they're going to try to get him, at least a catch early on and probably try to get him and the rest of the receivers a little more involved here against Bowling Green. But it'll be interesting, Jim, because I also think they really want to get the ground game going more consistently. Again, the big plays were great. I think that's, been a point of emphasis, and I think it's important. But I also think you'd like to get, to that point where you get Catron Allen more in the 4+ yards per carry area rather than the 2 yards a carry that he had against West Virginia on Saturday.
And I think, again, a part of that could go, they did not have many possessions, especially early in the game, where you could look at it and, just 10 carries for Catron Allen, 13 for Nick Singleton. And I know Cam Wallace ended up with 9 carries, almost as many as Catron Allen.
Yeah.
Because he played in garbage time there at the end and they get the ball. But I agree. And I think a big part of the getting the offensive numbers with the other receivers, Catron Allen going, is you're just going to have so many more tries against Bowling Green, Jeff.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, again, it's not overly concerned, but I do want to see, again, I think the worst thing from the receiver perspective would be, like, you make some big plays and you put up touchdowns again, but you have four or five drops against, like, a Bowling Green or a Kent State combined. I just want to see, all right, ball's thrown at you, and it
catch it.
Hands, just catch the ball, make the play.
Well, that's why, Jeff, in talking about Bowling Green just a little bit here in this game, what I want to see from them is efficiency on offense right from the start. Oftentimes when they play this type of team, you know, that slow start, that first possession or two, there's either a drop pass or something happens. The quarterback and wide receiver are on a different page, and that ends. I would like to see them just have a methodical march down the field, ending in a touchdown where it was half 50% passing, 50% running the ball, and that confidence that on third down, if I need to complete a pass, it's caught. If I need 2 or 3 yards, I can run the ball confidently.
Yep, with you 100%. And I have to believe that that is what they're going to come out and try to establish, try to do. I think they are looking big picture stuff here and trying to get some objectives achieved before it becomes crunch time, so that these guys have some confidence when it gets to be crunch time that, oh, yeah, here we go. We know how to do this.
And again, Jeff, if this were the opening game, if they would start their season with Bowling Green and Kent State, we could only come, in my mind, to a bad conclusion. If they don't look good, you know, I'd never expect them to lose these games. But if they played poorly, you'd say, uh-oh, here we go again. And if they play well, you'd say, well, it was Bowling Green and Kent State. That, to me, is why it was such a good thing to have West Virginia as that first game and get a good performance under your belt. Now you can use these two games to say, let's work on those things that didn't go so well against West Virginia.
Yeah, I think for most teams, and I know there's different thoughts on this and a lot of coaches and programs. And by the way, I think Penn State, truthfully, would just as soon open up with kind of a more sure win, because there is no preseason games, obviously, in college football the way there is in the NFL. And I think sometimes you do want to get just a look and let your guys get a feel. But I think the advantage of having a game like that is I do think you can really zero in on, okay, these are some areas that we really need to focus on. Some guys that when you see an opponent with similar athleticism, similar expectations, I just think it gives you a better feel for where you're at and able to make those adjustments where I'm with you. Like if Bowling Green's your first game, okay, if the receivers look great, fine, but does it really tell you anything? I don't know that it really does. I think having that game against West Virginia and now being able to go back and, all right, here's some things we need to clean up, work on, focus on getting other guys involved, that sort of thing. I think it just gives you a much better starting place for knowing where you need to coach things up moving forward.
Exactly. And my advice on scheduling is, I'm not asking this team or any team to schedule Georgia or Alabama in out-of-conference games or Texas like Michigan's doing. I give them credit for doing that. But I liked the game against Auburn, okay? It's a good opponent. You also did a home-and-home. So you played in a really good environment down in Auburn, you know?
Yep.
You play against a West Virginia at West Virginia, you know what? It's a great environment. You test your team a bit. Again, you're not playing Georgia, but you're playing an actual test that if you come out with a win, you have the ability to feel pretty good about yourself, Jeff.
Yeah, I agreed. And I wish we'd see more games like that across the board. I think you're actually going to see fewer games like that as we move forward, just with the college football playoffs and the importance of conference play. You know, ultimately, what I would love to see is kind of like the NFL does, and you just have a group that puts together, you know, a commissioner's office for college football that just puts together the schedule. And, you know, tries to get things evenly matched where you have, okay, we know every school needs to try to schedule, you know, a win in there at home. And I mean, there'd be some parameters on it, but try to get some better, more intriguing matchups across the board than what we currently have.
I'm in full agreement, Jeff, and I'll tell you what, I was going to wait till the fourth quarter, but let's do it next as a segue into it, because we're talking about this with the schedules, and I think the rule should be you play 9 conference games, you have to play 2 games against, you know, Power 4 teams, if you will, and you get 1 cupcake to allow yourself that extra home game. We're going to play a little quiz with Jeff. We're going to ask him about some of these teams. And we're going to see how well he does when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Jeff Byers. We're talking college football. And I was going on my rant about how teams schedule these cupcakes during the out-of-conference season, Jeff. I hate it. Some of these games, it's absolutely ridiculous. And you could go into, I think I have here somewhere, I'm looking for it, you know, in the Big Ten, they play teams like Illinois State, whatever. There's just some ridiculous ones. And I think the Southeast Conference is probably more guilty than anybody of this. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. Just to prove my point, we have Jeff Byers. Hey, sports media person. He's up to date on all things college football on the national scene. Certainly, this won't be a difficult task for him. What I'm going to do, Jeff, I'm going to name some college football teams, okay? And I need 3 things from you. I want you to say, is this team playing a Southeast Conference team this year? Tell me what state they're located, and tell me their team nickname. Okay, are you ready?
I don't think so, but let's do it.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll make the first one easy for you, at least name the state that they're in. Alabama A&M. What state do they come from?
That one I know is Texas. Alabama has long been known as one of the underrated schools in Texas. Oh, okay, I'll go Alabama.
All right, see, you're 1-0. What's the team nickname?
That's got to be the Miners.
Nope. Bulldogs. The Bulldogs.
That was going to be my 11th guess.
Is Alabama A&M playing a Southeast Conference team?
It's got to be. I'm going to say yes.
You are correct, sir. They have a game with Auburn. In fact, they may have already played that. In fact, they did. They played Auburn. All right. I'm going to make one part of the question easy for you again. How about Alabama State?
boy, I'm gonna go Alabama, Jim.
Very good. All right, you got that one. Okay. Now, what's the team nickname?
That's got to be the Broncos.
And the Hornets. Now, is Alabama State playing a Southeast Conference team?
I'll say yes again.
Nope, they are not.
They should be, Jim. We're trying to get Florida a win here, Galani. Come on. Don't play Florida.
Okay, here's next up. Mercer.
Tennessee?
Georgia.
Dang.
Team nickname.
Mercer is the... Man, oh man. Mustangs.
It's the Mercer Bears.
Oh, I was going for inspiration. Come on, Mercer. Help me.
And does Mercer play a team in the Southeast Conference? Yes or no?
Mercer, I'm going to say yes.
Very good. Mercer plays Alabama.
Oh, I had them playing Tennessee. All right, Alabama.
They get to play Alabama in mid-November. What in the world do you think that spread will look like?
It's anybody's game, Jim, when Mercer and Alabama get together.
Throw away the records when that happens, Jeff.
Please, for the love of God, throw away those records.
Okay, how about this one? Wofford College.
Wofford is... South Carolina?
Yeah, very good. Extra 50, points. 50. You knew they were Carolina, right?
I did.
Okay, do you know the team nickname?
Wofford. Oh, man. Now, this one I actually feel like I have heard. Wofford. It is not coming to me. I'll throw out Tigers. I don't think that I cannot come up with it.
Okay, they are the Terriers.
No, that is not even what I was. That's not along the lines I was thinking. I would not have gotten that one.
And are they playing a Southeast Conference opponent?
I'm going to say no, they're not this year.
Yes, they are. And now I can't find where it is, but I know they are playing.
Are they playing? So, be playing Tennessee. Tennessee's got to be playing one of these.
Well, Tennessee has a game. I had a game with Chattanooga. Okay, so there's game with that. All right. How about this one? Presbyterian.
Oh man, I'm gonna throw out North Carolina for that one.
South Carolina
again.
Yeah. And how about a team nickname?
That's got to be, I'm going to go back to Bulldogs.
The Blue Hose.
I was close. I mean, they both begin with B. The Blue Hose?
Yep. Okay. And I did have to look that up, like all of these, Jeff. Okay. And do they play a Southeast Conference team?
No. SEC is not going, they're not playing Presbyterian.
You are correct. They are not playing the Blue Hose.
Okay.
So I've got several more here, but we'll stop boring our listeners with that, Jeff. But
that's a little game. Challenging.
The problem is, though, with some of these games, you know, are you learning anything at all? Even your own team, is it anything other than a payday? I was picking on the Southeast Conference, but if you look at some of these Big Ten scores from the first week,
yeah,
the Big Ten was 17-1. Okay. Woo-hoo! And it's like, yeah, they put that out there like bragging about it, but some of these games were just ridiculous. Purdue plays Indiana State. Okay. Maybe, you know, in Larry Bird's day, it would have been competitive playing basketball. But Purdue wins at 49-0. Okay. Here's one for you. Iowa played Illinois State.
You couldn't ask me Indiana State and the Sycamores. No, you can't help old Ironhead out with the softball there. Okay, I see what you're doing.
No way I make it that easy for you, Jeff. I think ever since Larry Bird, you got to know who they're the Sycamores, right?
That's fair. Yep.
Okay, well, I'll give you Iowa beat Illinois State 40-0. So yep. Are you going to conclude that Iowa has now fixed their offense because they put up 40 against Illinois State?
There's no question about it, Jim. They made the halftime adjustments and came out and really put it up in the second half. And again, I at least know Illinois State's out of North Carolina. That was the North Carolina school I was thinking of.
Do you know the Illinois State team nickname?
Oh, man, that one I actually should, and I don't.
Good, because I don't either. So you could have thrown out anything, Jeff, and said it with confidence, and I probably would have said, oh, there you go. Yeah.
They're the Birches.
Okay, sounds good to me. But just an extra note on that Iowa-Illinois State game, as you pointed out, the adjustments at halftime. That game was 6-0 at halftime.
Oh, it was awful. I mean, for that first half for Iowa was pretty embarrassing.
And I know there's a couple of these games, like Oregon struggled with Idaho.
Yep.
Michigan State struggled with Florida Atlantic. Wisconsin struggled with Western Michigan. I understand that. But in my mind, there's still no excuse for playing these games, Jeff. Give us some competitive games. So with that in mind, Penn State's playing their version of it. They get Bowling Green. Know the team nickname?
The Falcons.
Very good. So the question becomes, all right, what do you want to see, though, in this game? Yeah, Penn State's playing Bowling Green. What are you looking for?
Here's my dilemma, Jim. I mentioned the field goal kicking. I don't really want to see Penn State settling for field goals against Bowling Green, but I want to see these kickers, whether it's Sahadak or whoever, be able to hit some field goals consistently. I don't necessarily want to see that when Penn State's playing these MAC schools, maybe late in the game or something, they can get them out there. I think for me, defensively, I want to see. I'm guessing Penn State will keep this pretty vanilla the next couple of weeks. So I want to see, obviously, if they can maybe control the aggression a little better in terms of the offsides penalties. And I just want to see kind of what combinations they use out there with the defensive line, the linebackers, and the secondary. But really, there's not much I'm looking for there in terms of, wow, did you see that? Now we know what we have on that side of the ball. Offensively, again, I want to see some more just consistent grinding out with the running game. I'd like to see Catron Allen just get, again, 4 or 5, 6 yards a pop against these types of teams. And as we touched on earlier, I just want to see more receivers get involved, and I want to see them making the routine plays routinely. When the ball comes your way, just catch it, make the play, and let's see if Penn State can build some confidence across the board with that receiving core right now.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. And you mentioned about not wanting to see the field goal kicker in a game like this. Yeah, we want to see them finish with touchdowns. But I got to think that James Franklin, if they're in that area where it's fourth down, where his tendency is to go for it, but you're on the 30-yard line and it's 4th and 4, do you maybe say, you know what? We know we're going to win this game, whether we score 3 or 7 here. Let me see if my kicker can make a kick from 47 yards.
Yeah, I think they have to get that figured out, who it's going to be moving forward, and try to establish some confidence in that. Again, that 50 in, we've got at least a very good shot of getting the 3 points, because you kind of feel like, at some point this season, whether it's at USC, at Wisconsin, against Ohio State, in the playoffs somewhere, you're going to need a clutch field goal. It's not that I don't think Penn State has anybody that can do it. It's just you want to have some confidence that, yep, we're going to get those 3 points when we need them. And I don't think there's any way you could say they do right now.
Very good. That's it for quarter three. One more quarter to go. Stick with us.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We're talking college football and Penn State football. Big game this week with the Bowling Green Falcons. And Jeff, is this going to be one of those seasons where we're going to see rain for every game?
Oh, man, I hope not. Jimmy, it is so it really is frustrating because this week has been just a perfect week here, at least in the State College area. Weather-wise, those perfect, crisp, autumnal mornings that you think about during football season, nice, bright, sunny afternoons, but, you know, cool temperatures in the upper 60s, low 70s, but just beautiful out. And sure enough, we get to Saturday, and no, for the tailgating, we'll bring in the rain and see, you know, how long that lasts into the game here on Saturday. It's disappointing. I hope this is not an indicator of things to come because, again, the frustrating thing is you play it pretty much any other day this week and you're going to be thrilled as a fan with the weather that we're having.
And Jeff, yes, even more so, it's like I looked at the long range weather. Saturday is the only day for rain. Yep. And even if the weather goes as far out as the following Saturday, okay, which is the 14th, it looks perfect, absolutely perfect. You know who Penn State plays that week?
Don't overlook Idol, Jim. Idol's been, I'll tell you, you got to give Idol credit. It looks like they are playing pretty much literally everybody in the country this year. They are not backing away from anybody.
They are not, and they will be certainly a test. But I will use this as an excuse to bring up the public service announcement. That is the weekend, though, of Patton Township's Children's Safety Fair, free admission. And you've told me you've taken your little guy to this. This is at the Colonnade, which is the Target parking lot. And this seems like a really cool event. You could bring it the they're bringing in the police, the fire vehicles, the emergency vehicles, and the kids get to go into each of those and have fun with it. I know you've taken your little guy to this previously, haven't you, Jeff?
Yep, and we really do. We have a great time. He absolutely loves it. There is just a lot to see and do. You come away feeling good. There's usually all kinds of little knickknacks that the kids can take home with them as well, whether it's balloons or buttons or other little you know, games and toys that they can get from the various vendors. And then, you know, a lot of them will hand out coupons for various services. It really is, it's an informative event as well. I think for parents, you get to learn a little more about first responders in particular, and but a bunch of the other services that are in our area. And it really is a great family-friendly community event, and we really do look forward to it each year.
Again, that is Saturday, September 14th, in the Target parking lot. It's free admission. And kudos out to our buddies over at Bobby Rahal Honda. They are one of the sponsors of this event, a great event. If you're in the State College area, stop by. There's no Penn State game, so Saturday, September 14th. All right, Jeff, let's get back to, talking about and overreacting to this first week, the game with West Virginia. And speaking of weather, you had this weather event, which suspended the game for a couple hours. The one thing you could point to with James Franklin, it burned him a couple years ago against Michigan State. He wasn't going to let that happen again, was he?
No, and they really do. That James Franklin, once they go through an experience, they learn from it, and there's no question they were well-prepared to handle it, and I don't think they missed a beat there in the second half, and it probably helped them in some ways, obviously, with the crowd, which was, about half of what it was when they went to the break there. And so I think that also kind of helped Penn State take control completely there in the second half. But yeah, it's one of those things that you got to control what you can control. And I do think Penn State did a very good job of kind of managing that 2+ hour break and just kind of making sure the guys were feeling good, feeling fresh, and were ready to go when they finally got the call to resume the game.
Okay. I'm going to continue with overreactions, and I want to get your take on it, Jeff. Here's an overreaction. This Penn State defense, it's going to be better this year than it was a year ago.
Listen, I will say this. I have been saying all along, I think the defense is, there's no way it can be quite as good as it was a year ago, but I did not think it would be any kind of a precipitous drop off. And I thought the improvement on the other side of the ball would more than compensate for it. That defense was awfully darn good last year. I do wonder, Jim, if this group, and I'm kind of thinking the same thing with this offensive line, and we'll get to that maybe in a minute, but I think what they can do with different combinations defensively, I think the depth is maybe better there even than it was a year ago. And I'm not sure that the frontline talent, I've been thinking all along that there's, again, not a huge drop off, but that there was a drop off. I'm not sure that first game that there actually is. And with the way Tom Allen can attack offenses, listen, I'm not sure in the big games, the big moments, that this defense won't be at least as good. And I don't put it past them at this point from being even better than what last year's squad was.
And there's just so much star power after losing some talent. I think the only question I had going into this was with the cornerbacks, simply because they lost so much talent a year ago. But I don't feel like they lost a step there, Jeff.
No, and the thing is, Jim, I really think they can go too deep on at either. I don't think there's any kind of a difference in terms of the overall impact. There might be, again, some different matchups or some different ways you want to utilize those guys. But and listen, the safety play, it's ridiculous how much talent they have across the board in that secondary. But I mean, if you're looking at the area that they are just absolutely stocked, it is the safety spots.
And KJ Winston was fantastic, which we expected, but Jalen Reed was all over the field. So a tremendous performance by them. I'm glad, Jeff, you brought up the offensive line. Now, remember, they lost both tackles to the NFL. They lost their center. That's a lot of talent to lose there. But here's my overreaction. I think they're just as good this year as they were a year ago on the offensive line.
Yeah, I really think they have a chance to be, Jim, and I think there's a few things in play. I think that the scheme they're running this year with Andy Kotelnicki better serves that offensive line and gives them a better opportunity to be consistently successful. I want to see if they can get the ground game established consistently. I get the big plays and I want the big plays, and I think that's an important component. And, you know, if they can keep that rolling, maybe it's not as big of a deal. But I would like to see them get, you know, a drive here or there where it's like 5 yards here, 4 yards there, 8 yards there, 3 yards here. And you would think you'd be able to do that, at least against the Bowling Greens and the Kent States, just to get, again, maybe a little more rhythm with that offense and see exactly how well those guys work together and can put together a drive where they're consistently making those plays. But it feels to me, Jim, like they just, on both sides of the ball, just have a much better grasp of what it is they're trying to do and how it is they're trying to accomplish it. I just think that the coaches this year, and I know it was a point of emphasis because you had the two new coordinators, but I really, it just feels to me, Jim, like everybody really does have an understanding. It's not just, okay, I'm making this read and this is what I need to do. It's, I need to do it because we have this guy backing up. Like, it feels like these guys have an understanding of the overall approach and then what their role is in it on both sides of the ball. And I was really impressed with the offensive line. You know, part of why I think Drew Aller was so animated and fired up is he knew he was going to have time to go make those explosive plays and find Trey Wallace down the field because he was not under terrible duress during Saturday's game.
I agree, Jeff, and that's why the one thing that I think, at least on the offensive side, we haven't yet seen that rhythm like that you talked about with the offense and that long. Almost they were a victim of some of their success. When you're having that last touchdown in the first half, they ran the ball, the long pass to Omari Evans, the TD pass, boom, three plays. You have the drives where you, a couple of them, where Nick Singleton is tearing off a 40-yard run. You can't have that long, sustained drive when you're scoring so fast. So stop doing that. obviously, you know, that's not an issue, but you had, especially in the first half, I think West Virginia did hold on to the ball for several long drives, plays, you know, there were double-digit drives, number of plays. So, again, a Bowling Green is a way to get your rhythm going. All right, we've got a minute left, Jeff. That gives you the opportunity, a bold prediction, and your prediction for this week's game against Bowling Green.
I will, I don't know if this will count as a bold prediction, but I'm going to say Catron Allen goes over the century mark against Bowling Green, that they will get his stats up in this one and get the running game going again. I think Singleton will also have a big day, but I think Catron Allen will go over 100 against the Falcons. And I think Bowling Green is actually a decent MAC school, but I just think Penn State way too much firepower, and I think they want to get this one put away pretty early, and I think they will. I have it Penn State 49, Bowling Green 7.
Okay, and you have them covering the spread. My prediction is they're going to cover the spread. Wherever it ends up, James Franklin will make sure he'll get that last touchdown if he needs it to beat the spread for us sickos who will be betting the game. All right, Jeff, that's it for our show today. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Ray Hall Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRayHallHondaOfStateCollege.com.